Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
God, prayer, and schools just don't mix these days. Just a few short decades ago, classrooms started their day with prayer and Bible reading. Forget that today. Students can't even pray before football games. Teachers have been reprimanded simply for having a Bible on their desk, let alone read from it. Students have been told they can't bring a Bible to school and read from it during study hall. There's no doubt God has been kicked out of America's schools. Earlier this month, news broke on the national scene of a high school football coach in Washington State who prayed at the 50-yard line after the game. The school was not happy. What has changed in America? Have laws changed? What has brought about this change in attitude about prayer? Why are school districts so afraid? And should they be afraid? My guest today is Jeremy Dice. He's a 2001 graduate of Taylor University and 2005 West Virginia University College of Law graduate, where he earned his Doctor of Jurisprudence. Jeremy is currently an attorney with the Plano, Texas-based Liberty Institute and is one of Coach Joe Kennedy's attorneys. Thanks, Jeremy, for being with us.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's just start with mission of Liberty Institute.
Liberty Institute, which is located a long ways away from the university in Dallas, Texas. We are a nationwide religious liberty law firm. That's all we do is just the religious liberty work, which means our mission is to defend and restore religious liberty across this country in keeping with the way the Founding Fathers outlined it so long ago.
You guys are really busy then. because increasingly we see more and more attacks on our religious liberties at all levels. So, well, you guys have your job cut out for you for sure.
Yeah, we certainly do keep things quite busy. And in fact, if you're wondering about it, you can actually go on our website at libertyinstitute.org and download our annual survey of religious hostility in America. That will document to you the about 1,300 different instances of religious hostility in America over the course of the last year or so.
You're kidding. That many in the last year or so alone?
Well, that was actually the 2014 edition. We'll publish the 2015 edition sometime in January, but certainly that grew significantly from the year before. So I expect we'll have an increase again in 2015.
And what was that? What was that called again?
It's called Undeniable, and you can download that at libertyinstitute.org.
Okay, Undeniable. Okay. Wow, I knew it was bad, but I didn't think it was quite that bad out there. Wow. And with Coach Joe Kennedy, you know, he first made national news, at least I first heard of him earlier this month, and that's earlier in October. Is this praying at the 50-yard line? Is that a new practice of his? You know, what's kind of some of the history behind this whole situation?
Well, it all started about 2008 when Coach Kennedy, coming out of about a 20-year history in the Marine Corps, was transitioning back into civilian life and was becoming a football coach. And about that time, he watched the movie Facing the Giants, which was a faith-based film involving a football coach and prayer and how important that was in that movie. So the coach saw that and was really convicted by it and decided, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to the 50-yard line when the game is over, the kids are doing the fight song. I'm just going to go out there and pray. Thank God for my kids, for the game, and, you know, win or lose, I'm going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just dedicated himself to doing that, really had the strong conviction to do it, and he did. And soon after that, some of his players took notice and said, hey, Coach, what you doing? And he said, well, look, guys, I'm going out there and praying for you. I'm thanking God for this game and for the other team. And I said, well, can we do that too? Can we join you?
Mm-hmm.
And the coach said, look, it's a free country. You guys do what you want. Now, it's very important to know, he never told them they had to do it, never even invited them to come out to midfield. But young men follow good men,
exactly.
And Coach Kennedy's a great man. And so pretty soon, a couple kids started doing it, then the whole team started doing it, then the opposing team, and people come out of the stands to do it with them.
Wow.
And then fast forward to this year, the Bremerton School District receives a compliment from someone in the community saying, I'm so glad to see this. This is a great coach doing a great thing. We're so encouraged by it all. And that compliment led to a district investigation of Coach Kennedy and ultimately now to his suspension from the entire school district staff entirely. In fact, he's not only suspended from the football program, he cannot, or nor can any other district employee, engage in any type of public display of religion, according to the Bremerton School District. That's
so
wrong.
So they received a compliment this year, not a complaint?
Yeah, it's kind of backwards, isn't it? They actually received a compliment from someone in the community, proud to see Coach Kennedy doing this, and lo and behold, he finds himself on the back end of a negative disciplinary action by his employer.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So what would the school have done if they had received a complaint?
I mean, I guess they didn't have need to have anybody complain, so they were able to take it on their own, sua sponte, as we say in the law, do it on their own, and really kind of track this thing down. And look, we've tried to be meeting with the school district and the attorneys. We've had a small conversation, but frankly, it's in their court.
Right.
We're happy to sit down and talk to them about this issue, and I think they could resolve it very quickly. They have just chosen not to do so. And as a result, now the coach is facing the prospect of losing his job for simply taking a knee, as any private citizen can do, and offering a prayer.
And, you know, it is totally ridiculous when we see what's happening to students and teachers and coaches when it comes to their First Amendment rights. And school districts are afraid of being sued, which is, the world's falling apart the way I look at it. And this is just another example.
Yeah, ironically, the school district has actually opened themselves up to greater liability in this process because what they have done is to say that none of their employees are permitted to engage in displays of public religion, public displays of religion. Okay, so let's play this out. That means, according to them, Coach Kennedy can't pray, okay? That's one thing. We know that offhand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means also that the Jewish teacher cannot wear his yarmulke to school.
Mm-hmm.
It also means that the Catholic teacher cannot wear her rosary to school.
Right.
It means that the student walking down the hallway that sneezes, the teachers better be careful not to say, God bless you, because that is a public display of religion and may find themselves finding them dismissed from their employment or suspended.
Wow. So really the school district, I know you probably can't talk a whole lot about can't give a lot of specifics about the case, but you guys have attempted to get some type of religious accommodation for the coach, and the school district has basically said, we don't want to talk to you. We just, quote unquote, know this is wrong, and we have to rein in this runaway coach. And
Yeah, in fact, they've said they have a legal obligation to prevent him from doing this. And so they've got, it's silly because the solution is very simple. They could just simply, they have the power of the microphone, they have the scoreboard speaker announcer guy, he could just simply come on there at the end of the game and said, hey guys, that guy that's praying in the middle of the field, he's not with us.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't constitute our speech and we don't endorse it. In fact, we don't even like him if they wanted to. They could say all those things.
Wow.
They have the freedom to do it. They've just chosen not to do so.
Yeah.
And instead, this man, for exercising his private religious expression, on his job, has now been put on suspension and facing the prospect of not having his job anymore.
And my understanding is that the prayers only are like 15 to 20 seconds. It's not like he's out there for minutes on end, not even, he's out there for maybe 15, 20 seconds, not even a half a minute.
Very short prayers, mostly to himself. He's a very humble man. If you talk to him, he'll tell you that he has two goals in life every day, to love God and love others. He says, I really barely am able to do the first one, and so I'm hoping to be able to do the second one, but I don't even get that right half the time. So, here's a guy who fought in the Marine Corps, swore to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States and the laws thereof, and has now been told that all that fighting was in vain. Well, you know what? He's not a quitter. He is a fighter, and he's going to continue to press this issue because he understands the import of it all. What happens if this case goes the wrong way? It means that students certainly don't have someone good to look to, but it certainly means employees across this country are in jeopardy of having their religious exercise, no matter how small, be grounds for their termination.
Wow. And my understanding is that the school gave him an ultimatum. What was it, back in September or so? They told him to cease and desist those 50-yard line prayers, the 15, 20-second prayers. And he was ordered to avoid kneeling, bowing his head, or doing anything that could remotely be seen as religious.
Yeah.
And the superintendent, in his letter announcing his administrative leave, the coach's administrative leave, is, you quote, you violated those directives by engaging in overt public and demonstrative religious conduct while still on duty as an assistant coach. And I guess the superintendent has offered to let the coach engage in quote-unquote private prayer following the football games, provided no child could see the coach petitioning the Almighty.
It's as if the coach has some sort of deformative disease of some sort that he doesn't want them to cast their eyes upon him, right?
Yeah.
No, don't look away, away.
Right.
And what were to happen if the coach were caught praying and the student started walking up to him? Is he required at that point to get up and rail, unclean, leave away, leave me, I shouldn't be here? It's silly where we've gotten to, and I think most Americans recognize that, and that's why they have been greatly supporting the coach.
Good.
Look, we've got a letter you can sign at libertyinstitute.com/coachkennedy. It's just a letter of support that the coach is receiving off and on to just say, look, we're behind you, coach. It's gotten great support,
good,
not only by people across Facebook and Twitter, but you know, guys like Tony Dungy, the former coach for the Indianapolis Colts. He tweeted his support and said, man, I'm glad this never happened to me when I was a high school coach.
But just look, and just look how things have changed since he was an NFL coach. Dungy was an NFL coach, how things have changed even since he retired. And I know it may, the high school situation is a little bit different than the NFL, but you know, thinking of all the pushback that the NFL gave, you know, it's just a different world than what it used to be. And you know, I don't know, you know, we got here because we pushed good out of the marketplace. That's how we got here. But do teachers and coaches and students still have their First Amendment rights when they enter that schoolhouse door? Do they have to lay those rights aside and enter the school with no First Amendment rights?
In the 1960s, the court settled a case called Tinker versus Des Moines. And in that case, they said at the time, it has been the unmistakable holding of this court for going on 50 years. So do the math now. We're close to 100 years where it's been the unmistakable holding of the Supreme Court of the United States. And what is that holding? It is that students and teachers do not shed their constitutional rights when they walk through the schoolhouse gates. I don't know if Bremerton High School has actually read that case or not, but evidently they're qualifying that. That does not mean, according to this school district, you're permitted to engage in public displays of religion while you're on campus. That's the wrong law. And I want your listeners to go to our website at libertyinstitute.org and download one of our religious liberty toolkits, especially designed for teachers and students, so that you know what your rights are. It's a little, you can download it, you can ask for a copy of it, we'll send it to you. Just put it in your vest pocket, put it in your notebook. Make sure you're aware of where the rules are for you when you are at school.
Okay, fantastic. So you do have that tool available then, because I know a lot of Christian teachers and students don't know what they can and cannot do because of, you know, the ACLU and now the Freedom from Religious Foundation and their attacks on a religious freedom. So you guys do have that tool, then. That's fantastic.
We do, and we actually have it for more than just students and teachers, for churches and religious organizations as well, for members of our military. We've got several of them. You can download them at religiouslibertykits.com.
Okay, religiouslibertykit.com. I encourage your listeners to definitely do that so that questions, you know, any question you may have can be addressed on through that pamphlet. So Religious Liberty Toolkit, give that website again.
Yeah, religiouslibertykits.com.
Kits.com.
And you can also find them on libertyinstitute.org.
Okay, both of those. And, you know, the picture of him, I think it was after the homecoming game earlier in October, you know, he was there praying the 50-yard line even after he received that letter on September 17th, and he was surrounded. Again, like you mentioned, he does not ask anyone to join him in these prayers, and so he went, as usual, to the 50-yard line, knelt to pray, and the opposing team, and there are many, many in the opposing team and the coaches of the opposing team came out to join him in prayer and show support, and I read that the school of the opposing team are going to, quote-unquote, investigate the coaches' participation in this activity, as if they were drug addicts, you know, out there drinking or using drugs or, you know, something like that, something really bad. Have you heard anything about them actually doing that? the other,
I have not, but yeah. I have not. But of course, if those coaches were to get in trouble, they're certainly welcome to call Liberty
right.
Institute, and we'd have multiple people to represent.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, Coach Kennedy can definitely direct them to you guys for help. And if a student, I mean, I know that you're available if students or teachers in any state in the nation gets in trouble, that you guys are available there to help. And by and large, when there's a situation in a school district, because I know you guys sent a, I don't know if it was called a cease and desist letter, but you guys sent a letter to the school concerning Coach Kennedy. And was there any kind of feedback from the school, or they have just totally kind of just brushed you guys off and they don't want to talk to you about this case?
Well, to put it in kind of short terms, we sent the demand letter in, yes, told them what the law was and the facts are. And they effectively said, no, you're wrong, we're right, and we're not really going to budge. And then they went a step further from that, without any of our prompting, really, to send a new letter to the coach earlier this week to say, you're suspended.
Mm.
Don't come on the field. Don't act like a coach. You're not a coach anymore here.
So they didn't come?
That's an unlawful employment practice, a violation of Title VII. They've made a negative employment decision
mm-hmm.
based upon our coach's religion here, and so they're going to have to face an answer to that in court.
Wow. Well, wow. I didn't know that they had completely pushed you guys out of the picture. So no one knew this letter was coming until the coach actually received it.
No. In fact, they sent it just hours before the last regular season game for Bremerton High School, which they won last night. So they're in the playoffs, I guess, now, and I guess their season continues. But, you know, the coach was at the game, like every other
mm-hmm.
private citizen was able to be
mm-hmm.
there. He paid to come in, but he was not permitted to get on the track by the football field and talk to the players on the field. It's interesting, though, they did come over, and they offered their encouragement to the coach from the videos that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, you know, the whole community got around this guy and just prayed with him over by the stands. Just totally spontaneous. These folks come around him, show their support. This school district is out of step with their own
mm-hmm.
community.
With their own community.
They support this coach,
yeah.
and they want to see it continue.
Yeah. I know we sent out an alert where folks would contact the superintendent as well as the school board members about Coach Kennedy. So, you know, I know folks in Pennsylvania have also been contacting them. As well as you said, people from around the country have signed your all's letter of support for the coach. So he's getting good support. And, you know, and it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. But as, you know, we're 2.5 months here in Pennsylvania, school starts like the before Labor Day, so in about mid to the end of August. And I know schools are under increased pressure to push anything that appears Christian out of the out of sight, shall we say, just put it under cover. And is there pressure from, do you know if there's pressure from the ACLU and do you know if the ACLU and the Freedom From Religious Foundation on a regular basis sends out letters to the school districts around the country, quote-unquote, reminding them of the separation, the wall of separation of church and state? Is that a regular practice, or they just wait until a situation like this comes up? Of course, as far as we know, the ACLU is not involved in this, though.
There are a lot of secularist organizations, atheist organizations, that part of their practice is simply to send these threatening
mm-hmm.
and somewhat bullying letters to the Board of Education, the county, city council, the county commission,
right?
And their hope is that they'll be able to gin up a whole bunch of negative publicity, stoke the fear of God into these folks, and pardon the pun, that they might actually receive a federal lawsuit against them. And most school districts and county commissions who are strapped for cash
mm-hmm.
Will just simply cave to the demands
right.
of this group, whether or not they're actually right or not. So I'd say about probably 40% of the time, that's actually what happens.
Wow.
But, you know, if we're able to get a hold of these school districts or boards of education or what have you, and we're able to offer our services, which we never send them a bill for,
mm-hmm.
More often than not, we're able to resolve the case and to win the case. Probably 9 times out of 10 does that happen.
Wow.
But the problem is that we can't get to all of them at all times, and we don't even know about half of them until they've actually settled.
It's until it's a done deal. So how would you encourage parents to educate their school boards and their superintendents on this issue?
Yeah, just be involved. You know, go to the meetings and run for school board if you want. You know, that's a great option to have good people on these boards of education. That's a great first step. But, you know, be aware of what's going on. You know, I think of one of our clients, Mackenzie Frazier, who is a 12-year-old in the sixth grade, had to do a PowerPoint presentation, and one of her slides had to be an inspirational quote, but the teacher said you can't have quotes from the Bible or Book of Mormon in it. She thought that was kind of odd and kind of put it in the back of her mind until a couple months later when she's writing an assignment on self-esteem, and her parents, her dad's a pastor, said, well, why don't you write about finding your self-worth as being made in the image of God? Maybe that's a good topic for you. And she says to her parents, you know, a couple months ago I had this issue pop up in this PowerPoint class, and I was told that we couldn't do this, and so I think it's actually wrong, and it actually might be illegal for me to talk about my faith at school. Well, parents need to have their ears attuned to these things and to know that that's not right, but to know more that there's actually a resource for you here at Liberty Institute to be able to be in your corner should that kind of thing arise.
Yeah, and that was at religiouslibertykits.com?
Yep, or libertyinstitute.org.
Okay, or just libertyinstitute.org. And again, I do encourage parents, grandparents, taxpayers, because you don't really have to have kids in school to be concerned about this, and because they do operate using our tax dollars. So I do encourage folks to check that tool out, religiouslibertykits.com or a Liberty Institute's website. And as you guys are busy around the country, do you think there's a turning, or is there just more confusion, or do you think that parents are becoming more aware and are stepping forward to protect their child's religious, or if they're a teacher, to protect their religious liberties? Do you think there's an effort to do that, or is there more awareness now that is there more awareness that sometimes schools don't know what they're talking about when it comes to religious liberty?
Well, I think there is. Hope springs eternal. There are certainly those pockets where people are just completely in the dark and simply kind of wilt under any kind of pressure. Mm-hmm. But I think more often we're seeing now that people are dedicated to these issues. They understand them. They've seen Hobby Lobby go through the courts.
Right.
They've heard about Coach Kennedy out in Washington State. They have friends on Facebook sharing Dr. Eric Walsh's case about being fired as Director of Public Health for things he said as a lay minister.
Mm-hmm.
They've heard about Craig James being fired from Fox Sports for talking about his beliefs on marriage in the Senate campaign. You know, they've heard Mackenzie Frazier's story. They've seen Giovanni Rubio talk about reading his Bible in class and encouraging people on Fox and Friends to read their Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've heard these cases and they share them around. They've heard about the churches in Houston who were threatened with eminent domain proceedings and, in fact, sued to take their churches for not being willing to sell the churches to the Houston Housing Authority. They understand these issues are out there, but they also understand something even more importantly, that when someone stands up and asserts their First Amendment rights under the Constitution, they usually win. And because of that, we're having more and more people not only willing to stand up for their religious liberty, but being willing to take it through to the end and win these cases.
No, that's good. That's good. And how can folks contact Liberty Institute?
Best way to do that is on our website at libertyinstitute.org. You can request legal assistance right there as well. But, you know, we'll be able to respond in any way if you do it through our website, our phone, or, you know, Twitter and Facebook. It's all there. We'll be happy to evaluate the case and see where we can go with it.
Okay. And so if any of our listeners have a situation that they need advice on religious liberties and, you know, questions about things that your kids may be going through in school, you know, possibly, you know, they're taking the Bible to school and they're being told that they can't do that, that's against the law. I mean, just imagine a kid being told that and the fear that has to be in that child, even as the example you gave with the pastor's daughter who questioned whether she could write about, you know, with her self-esteem in that class, or, you know, and where she's made in the image of God, where she's even thinking that talking about that was against the law. It's just beyond my comprehension that we have come this far as a nation to, you know, won't even allow kids to do that. But, you know, you guys are doing a good job, and I really appreciate it. And we're all rooting for the coach. And even liberal Washington State needs to know that he has rights. And so, Jeremy, you guys keep up the good fight. And any more thoughts on the coach or the...
I think folks should just stay up on his case at libertyinstitute.org/coachkennedy as this case evolves. And we'll be sure to update it. And we certainly appreciate your support. And I know the coach does, too.
Okay. You take care. And you guys keep up the good fight.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.